Here at Peace Tree Presbyterian during Advent, we have been pursuing the theme, the many moods of Christmas. And tonight, we look at the mood of joy. And my text is the 10th verse of this second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Don't be afraid. I bring you the most joyful news ever announced. Let us pray silently for a moment. In Christ's name, amen. Christmas has many moods. Life has many moods, and all of the moods that we experience are to be found in the Christmas story. The mood hostility, for example. Herod was threatened by the news of the birth of a baby who would be a king. He was so insecure in his madness that he ordered that innocent children be put to death. So the mood of hostility rears its head in the Christmas story. Then there's the mood of stress. It's obvious that the innkeeper in Bethlehem knew the stress of the season. The city was jammed, the streets were crowded, and to add to his problems, a woman great with child needed a room, a place to stay. It was unbelievable that she was able to travel in that condition. He wanted to do something, but he could not, for he had no room at all. It was the stress of an unbelievably busy season. And then there was the mood of curiosity. It was the open-minded curiosity, the teachable mind of the wise men that prompted them to seek new truth when they saw a star in the heavens. And they made a long journey to see what the star meant, if it had a meaning. We need to be teachable, to be open to new truth, to new ways. For after all, there is nothing so predictable in life as the reality of change. And then there is the mood of sharing. Christmas is the season of sharing. We give good gifts. A spirit of neighborliness grips us. The phone here at the church rang all day today. People were asking, is there anyone that you know that we can do something for at Christmas? And I think that mood of sharing began with the shepherds who went to see what had taken place in Bethlehem. And then they went home to tell everyone what they had seen and heard. The good news of Christ's birth is always for sharing. That's the most effective way of getting the word about Jesus Christ around. It is the sharing and the telling of what he has meant to you and to me. And tonight, on this Christmas Eve, is the mood of joy. The mood was set in the most unlikely of places, the Bethlehem countryside, to the most unlikely of people, the shepherds who were tending their flock. The announcement of joy was made in the dead of night as the heavens lit up. And I love the way the Living Bible paraphrase captures it. Don't be afraid, for I bring you the most joyful news ever announced. The distinctive note of the Christian faith is joy. The only adequate response to the joy of our faith is celebration. In response to the joy of Christ's birth, we respond with eager service, with celebrative worship, with cheerful generosity, with glad and godly living. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, the great Catholic thinker of our century, said this: joy is the surest sign of the presence of God. The reality is that Christ's coming brings us joy. But candor prompts me to say on this Christmas Eve, first of all, that Christmas for some is not joyous. The joy that many feel, that most feel, is an agony for some. The anthems that ring in our churches in celebration of the holy birth is but an ache in the heart for some people. While we celebrate tonight, there are those for whom we should pray, because Christmas brings them no joy because of death. There is a vacant chair at the table, an empty rocker by the heart. A loved voice does not sound anymore. The gentle touch of a hand of love will never be felt again, because they have gone on to be with the Father. This afternoon, a well-loved member of this church was promoted to the church triumphant, Herman Hancock, one of the principal architects of a major building project here. He lived with grace. He died with gentleness. He is spending Christmas Eve in heaven. Death makes Christmas an agony for some. Divorce. Homes are broken tonight. Families are separated. Children are being tossed back and forth between parents. Disappointment. A romance is suddenly over. A relationship that seemed to have promise is gone. A job is lost. The future is uncertain. A man that I know was dismissed from his work within the week. And his whole life is filled with uncertainty, even as I speak. Deprivation. Some within the sound of my voice tonight are ill-housed, scantily clad, meager food, and with little hope. They feel no joy even as we celebrate. But thank God for the outpouring of generosity that has been ours in this church in this season. For we have shared our substance with scores of hungry, homeless, hopeless people in Atlanta. There are, thank God, in Atlanta, Georgia tonight, families who are in warm homes who last year had no home, because of the caring of this church. Death, divorce, disappointment, deprivation, despair. There are some spending Christmas alone, away from family. They feel left out. Some feel defeated. They have done all that they can and can now only wait to see what happens. The dearest friend that I have outside of the circle of my family, for 25 years she has been a stalwart friend, is fighting cancer tonight. She feels a sense of defeat and needs our prayers. There are many for whom Christmas is a burden. Some are robbed of joy by memories of Christmas past, when things were better, when family was near, when the laughter of little children at your feet made it such a happy time. I can still hear the voices of our girls when they were little saying over and over, "I can hardly wait until Christmas." But I would remind you that even if Christmas for you is hard, if you have experienced the loss of a loved one, if you are separated from a spouse of many years, if there is some severe disappointment, some deprivation, some despair, some defeat, then rejoice anyway. Our Lord still wants you to experience the joy of this season. Don't you remember that as he went about doing good again and again, he said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome this world." At the dawn of creation, when God had made everything that is made, he stood back, and you know what he said? He looked at it and he said, "It's good." My mother taught me the Shorter Catechism. What is the chief end of man is one of the questions. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. The Talmud, the collective wisdom of the rabbi, has this statement: in the world to come, each one of us will be called to account for all of the good things God put on earth, which we refuse to enjoy. Alexander Miller wrote a book, The Renewing of Man, and in it he said, if we are asked to say summarily why God made the world, we are forced to affirm that he made it for fun. There is no purpose in it save the purpose of joy. You know, I think God means for us to enjoy life, to experience the joy of His creation, to respond to the good news of His coming. And one of the worst things that has happened to the Christian faith is that people tend to interpret it as a wet blanket that is thrown over everything. It's a misrepresentation of what our faith is to be. It's good news. So on this Christmas Eve, I'm saying to all of you here and to those of you sharing in this service across the country that God wants you and me, even if Christmas is hard to celebrate, to experience the joy of His coming, for therein is our hope. Fanny Crosby wrote many of the hymns that we love to sing. She was blinded as a baby by a doctor who made a tragic mistake. He gave her the wrong medication. Her parents were understandably grieved by the thought of their little girl living in total darkness, the darkness of blindness. But at an early age, Fanny Crosby wrote this, quote, "Oh, what a happy soul I am. Although I cannot see, I am resolved in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people do not. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." Happiness, joy, and usefulness, not because of blindness, but in spite of it. And even if tonight your heart is heavy, and many of you here have heavy hearts, I know it. Even if your spirits are low, be of good cheer. Open up, if you can, and let the joy of this season come into your heart. Well, if joy is the distinctive note of the Christian faith, and I believe it is, note with me this second question. How do we get it? It is there, I believe, that the shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night, are of great help to you and me. They found joy in doing three things, and here they are. First, they were seekers. They heard the announcement, and they went to see. They were told what had happened, where it had happened, and what they would find when they would get there. And when the heavenly choir had finished singing, the shepherds turned to one another and said, "Let's get going to Bethlehem and see this wonderful thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And off they went. Now, they could have sat in stunned disbelief by the fire and done nothing. They could have run off into the hills to hide out of fear. They could have gone off individually to think about it and sort it through for themselves and see if they could come to some conclusion about this experience. But they didn't do any of that. They went to see. They were seekers. You know, you find joy, I believe, always and only when you're reaching out, when you're seeking. There is very little joy if the focus of life is inward on your problems, your mistakes, your sadnesses, and mine. The movement of life is always forward. We find joy by seeking. Many have no joy because they will not budge. They do not move. They take no risk. They refuse to reach. Joy comes to the seeker. And I believe that one of the most serious problems of our time is the tendency to observe rather than participate, to avoid rather than reach out, to give in rather than stand up. The many of us no longer hear the distant drummer and move toward it, but sit down to ponder if we recognize the tune. About 30 miles south of Cairo, Egypt, there is some interesting and perhaps significant archaeological excavations going on. They have found there, for example, some tombs similar to those of the Egyptian kings that have been found elsewhere. One of the most valuable discoveries in this particular excavation is that they have discovered the rubbish heap of an ancient city, preserved for all ages by the dry climate, or all kinds of documents. There are doctor bills and accountants' bills and accounts of lawyers and homework from children in primitive schools. business correspondence and love letters and all kinds of things that you would expect to find in the city dump. But in all of the discoveries, there's a bit of papyrus on which is written these words, quote, "Jesus, on whom be peace, hath said, wonder at the things before you." That's the phrase, wonder at the things before you. I don't know whether Jesus said that or not, but I know this, it is in the spirit of what he would say. He wants us always to be wondering about and seeking the things that are before us, to be willing to respond to the truth that we have and move forward. I think that's what Elizabeth Barrett Browning was talking about when she wrote, "Earth's crammed with heaven and every common bush of fire for God, with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries." Joy is not for the sitters of this world, but for the seekers. Note, the shepherds had joy because they went to see. They were seekers. Joy is not only for those who seek, but secondly, for those who share. They were not merely content to find what they had been told would be there, but they went home to share the story. Good news is always for the sharing. I like what the Living Bible says about this. Listen, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story expressed astonishment. To those of you who are here for the first time tonight, let me tell you that the services of worship from this church have been televised now for 15 years. Multiple thousands of people in this region see and experience worship from Peachtree Presbyterian Church. The public at large is generally aware of this church. I have a lot of interesting encounters one-on-one from people who run into me on the street. A lady recently told me, "You seem much younger on TV." One lady wrote in and said, "Get them to change the camera angle because they give the illusion that you are balding." I wrote her back, "That's no illusion." But the public at large is generally aware of this church. As I travel around the country, I'm amazed how many of you say to me that you saw the Christmas Eve telecast. But listen to this. We can actually document that one out of three persons who come to this church for the first time learn about it through television. About one-third of those who visit. We can also document that nearly 70% learned about our church, its program, its minister, from a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker at the office, word of mouth, one person sharing something meaningful with another person. The most effective means of getting the word around is to share it. To say to some other person what God has meant in your life. And surely that is a source of joy. It was for the shepherds. An Englishman named Alfie tried to take his own life and failed. He was recovering when a friend came by to see him and asked the inevitable question, "Alfie, why did you do it?" And listen to what he answered. "Because there was no good news anywhere. If there was, someone would have come running to me with it." We must learn to share the good news of his coming. Could you imagine the bleakness of Christmas tomorrow morning if you had to open your gifts alone? Or if there were no gifts? If there was no one with whom you could share Christmas? Joy is for sharing. Good news is for sharing. Mother Teresa, the most remarkable woman of our time, speaks from time to time about the greatness of the poor. To illustrate her meaning, she tells the story of taking some rice to a starving family that she had heard about. They had not eaten for days. They were literally weak from hunger. And as Mother Teresa looked into the faces of the anxious parents and hollow-eyed children and handed them the rice, immediately they divided the rice into two parts and ran next door. "Where are you going?" said Mother Teresa. And the woman answered, next door. They are hungry too. Sharing is one of the roads that leads to joy. Find that road. Well, the shepherds found joy, and you will find it by seeking, by sharing, and thirdly, by staying. They were active participants in the holy drama of Christ's birth. They went to Bethlehem to see, but they returned back to their normal routine to share the good news with everyone. And then we read this. They went back again to their fields and flocks, praising God for the visit of the angels because they had seen the child. They stayed right where they were. But an uncommon light had been cast on their common way. That's the meaning of Christmas. We call him Emmanuel because it means God's with us right where we are. We are going to find our joy by seeking and sharing and digging in right where we are by staying. William Faulkner wrote, I believe, his finest novel when he wrote The Sound and the Fury. In the novel, he tells the story of the moral decay of a family through waste and wickedness and wandering of the family. But there is one stalwart character in his story, and she stands out and stands firm. Her name is Dilsey, a faithful servant. She's like light in darkness. Faulkner describes her in two words. She endured. Life takes some of that. We need to endure right where we are in the ruts of every day. Part of the good news of his coming is that he comes right where we are. On the flyleaf of the Bible of George V, in a scrawling hand, these words were found. The secret of happiness is not to do what you like to do, but to learn to like what you have to do. We have to dig in right where we are and let the light of God break through and find us there. Immanuel Kant put it this way. It is God's will not merely that we should be happy, but that we should make ourselves happy. You get that? We must get busy, like the shepherds of old, translating the joy and the celebration of Christmas into every day. You know, the ruts we are in offer some strength. They offer security. It's familiar and predictable. The very sameness is security. But that rut also, in all of its sameness and security, offers opportunity. Our best opportunity for service, for seeking, for sharing, comes right where we are. If you can't find joy where you are, then you're in trouble. Quit worrying about what your marriage would have been like if you'd married somebody else, and make the marriage you've got the marriage that you've dreamed about. Quit worrying about where you're going to be in your next job, and make the job you have the job that you're dreaming about. You've got to dig in. You have, I have, we've got to dig in right where we are. You know, we often miss great opportunities by not recognizing that there is opportunity where we stand. A farmer many years ago hired a fellow named Jim for the summer, made him sleep in the barn at night, but he let him eat with the family at mealtime. Over the course of the summer, this boy Jim fell in love with the farmer's daughter, and the farmer was less than pleased when Jim asked if he could marry his daughter. Come now, he said, you have no money, no prospects, and I'm not going to let you marry my daughter under any circumstances. Well, the summer was ended, and Jim packed his bags and left. 35 years later, the farmer had prospered. He had to tear down the barn where Jim slept. And as he tore the barn down, he found on one of the rafters that that boy Jim had carved his full name. And he read, James A. Garfield. By then, Jim was president of the United States. The farmer employed for the summer, a president unaware. Phillips Brooks was right when he said, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. no ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. He finds us where we are in all of the moods of Christmas. He found Herod in his hostility, the innkeeper in his stress, the shepherds in their willingness to share, the wise men in their curiosity, and he wants you and me to celebrate it with joy. I want to close now with a story. We Presbyterians are not noted for our exuberance in worship. A man jumped up once in a Presbyterian church over in South Carolina and said, "Hallelujah, I've found religion." One of the elders said, "Sit down and shut up. You didn't get it in this church." Well, you get the picture. Out in Omaha, Nebraska, people came from all over the country for a meeting of renewal. And when they walked in to the meeting, each person in the meeting was handed a balloon filled with helium. And they were told to release the balloon. It's a balloon sort of like that. See, that's a bouncy balloon. They were told during the service, if you experience any joy, if you experience any joy at all, you just let that balloon go and it will rise to the ceiling and gently bump that. I guess they felt that they just couldn't run the risk of a Presbyterian saying amen or hallelujah or praise God. So periodically, as the preachers preached and the choirs sang, a balloon would gently, gently float to the ceiling. When the service was over, now you hear this, when the service was over, a third of the balloons were still unreleased. Those present either felt no joy or feeling, and if they did feel it, they just could not bring themselves to let the balloon go. Now, I know people who have been hanging on to their balloons all their lives. They have never experienced the joy of Christ's presence. For once in God's holy season, let the joy of this moment surge through your soul. Don't you remember? Don't you remember? In all of the hostility and stress of the holy storm, the angel said, "I bring you the most joyful news ever announced." Don't miss it, friends. Don't miss it. Let it go. Let it go. For God's sake, let it go. We give thanks, our Father, for these moments together. Reach out across this nation and let us feel the joy of his coming. Fill our hearts with the joy now as Connie Johnson sings to the glory of Christ, "O Holy Night." Amen.